Hey there, this is Seth Wires from Channel 9 coming to you from NDC Oslo in the beautiful country of Norway. How are you, my friend?
I'm very well, Seth. It's great to be here. How are you doing?
I'm here. Why don't you introduce yourself? People know who you are.
So my name is Dylan Beattie. I'm a systems developer. I'm an architect. I write code. I do interested in all kinds of things, user experience, web design, Conway's Law, distributed systems architecture, rock and roll, rock music, keynote speaks, travel.
This dude, is an awesome speaker, and I just found out you only started speaking at these things like 2 years ago.
Pretty much. So yeah, NDC 2015 was the first international conference I did.
Uh-huh.
So I started out way back in, I guess, 2008. It was around the time when jQuery first came out.
Uh-huh.
And there were a couple of people in London putting together like a lightning talk evening, and one of them, Goiko Adzik, said to me, hey, come and do us a 15-minute thing on jQuery. So
that would have
been like 2008, 2009. That was the first thing I did. And you know, I kind of liked it. It was good fun. And so based on that, I started doing stuff in the UK at DDD and a couple of user groups. And then 2 years ago, I thought, what the hell? So speculatively emailed the NDC gang and said, hey, here's a talk. And they said, yeah, we'd love to have you fly over and hotel. And
that's crazy, because I was at NDC London, not this one, but the one before.
Yeah.
And I saw you up there doing it was some game show like thing.
Yeah.
It was hilarious. And I'm like, how long is this? How have I not met this guy? How long has he been speaking? So only 2 years.
Yeah.
Well, how do you have this natural ability to?
Well, I don't know whether, natural ability. I think there's a lot of different things that you can do in life, which if you approach them in a certain way, the benefit and the experience spills over into other
things
that you do. So, there's technical speaking, and there's also, getting up on stage with a band and playing music, which I've been doing for a long time.
What do you play?
Guitar, sing. I'm one of those people. I was talking with Rich Campbell the other day. I'm
right,
like,
right.
Do you sing? He goes, I can sing, but I won't. And yes. I'm like, well, I can't sing, but I will. So you have these, I was a teenager the first time I got up in front of a room full of people, and it's like either I entertain them or this is going to suck.
Yeah.
And so that, you get over that fear of being in front of people, and there's lots of stuff that you can do. A lot of speakers I talk to are like, I don't ever watch my own videos, I don't listen back to stuff. It's like,
sure.
Get over it, Your own voice sounds very different outside your own head to how it does on the inside.
Sure, sure.
But you get past that. Watch a couple of your own videos, videotape some stuff you've done, and that, you'll pick up the ticks, you'll realize what you need to do, you get a much better sense of it. And so there's all these different things you do. You get over the stage fright and the nerves.
Right.
You get comfortable with your own kind of cadence, and you pick up your own verbal ticks, and you filter them out. You learn how to prepare things in a way that sort of works for you. You get the balance of the sort of, technical content and jokes and, the banter and storytelling.
Sure.
And this kind of stuff. And then, the nice thing with these things, you do all the preparation, and I always think, preparation is a safety net. You're not going up there to read a script.
Of course not.
This is not Shakespeare. You're going up there to have a conversation.
Uh-huh.
And if the conversation, you lose your way or something, it's nice having that material. You know that is there. You know you've done it. You can fall back on that, and you just keep going.
So everything that you're saying is awesome. So for someone out there that has some really good technical chops, how do they get involved and like, hey, I want to speak as well?
So, it's, pardon me. That's too many talks and too many airplanes.
Oh, yeah, I know. This guy did the keynote, okay? This guy that I'm...
So I've just been doing two workshops, and I'm in Norway where the audience don't talk very much.
Bro, yeah.
So I've been talking solid for all day Monday, all day Tuesday. I was speaking at a Dev Summit in Sweden last week.
Uh-huh.
And when you do that, and then an airplane, and then a talk, and then an airplane, and then a talk, your throat ends up going,
and then
please.
I'm bugging him too, you guys, seriously.
Nah, it's cool. It's good fun. There's lots of people out there who... some of them are very, very good storytellers, very good presenters. Some of them are very good technically.
Right.
They really know their stuff. And there are so many different ways of approaching it. The best thing, I run together with Ian Cooper and Liam Wesley.
Oh, Ian Cooper's amazing, by the way.
Yeah, you guys were streaming his talk just before this, I saw. Yeah. So Ian's been running the London.NET user group in London, where I live, since 2002.
Okay.
So London.NET started about the time, I think, beta 1 of Visual Studio .NET, before it even had a version number.
Yeah, yeah.
And has always been kind of very, early adopters in terms of things like, IOC and unit testing and, distributed systems.
Sure.
Some really cutting-edge stuff. A long while ago, 10, 12 years ago. And we're always, like every community user group, we're looking for speakers. And we're a safe crowd. The thing you've got to remember if you're doing this for the first time, the audience don't want you to fail. You know, yeah. This isn't a football match where someone wins and someone loses. And this isn't like, you know, stand-up comedy where they're going to throw things and heckle you. Everybody who's there, we're all on the same side. The audience, nobody likes watching someone, you know,
sure,
uncomfortable. They don't like watching people make mistakes. So the audience are on your side. And once you get that, you know, just kind of, you know, relax and go with it. Run through it a couple of times. Yeah, something I know a lot of people do, they'll write the talk. And the first time they do it, they'll do it at work. You know, a couple of people they sure know, and that'll be their first pass. And then maybe they'll do it at a user group. And now when I didn't manage to do it this time. I've been too busy.
Sure.
But what I always try and do if I'm working on a new talk is I'll do it at a local user group first. Where,
smart.
So one, it gives you an artificial deadline, you know. The downside of doing lots of travel and speaking is you end up in a place like, you know, Tel Aviv or Helsinki or something, and you want to go out and see the city, but you're in
you
the hotel
do your
getting your
I
talk ready
because
it's tomorrow.
I do that all the time.
Yeah. So the way to fix that is go, right, well, I'm actually going to do the talk 3 weeks earlier in London or wherever you live, find a local user group and go, mm-hmm, hey, you know, do you guys want a preview of the NDC keynote or whatever that is? And like I said, this time I didn't have a chance to do that just because there's been too much stuff to juggle.
So the first step then is to, you have a topic that you like, yeah, make sure that you know what it is, and then go to a user group and say, hey, I want to do this talk. You have an artificial deadline. You have someone to work through the kinks with.
Yep.
And then after that, how do you go about submitting? Like, how do you write abstracts in a way that's interesting for people to like, hey, yeah, we should take this talk?
So writing an abstract is one of those things that I still find it quite difficult. I really do. Mm-hmm. Because you got to, you know, you take this idea, and often when you're pitching the abstract, maybe it's a, you know, vaguely what you want to talk about, but you haven't actually worked out all the details
right
and stuff yet. And particularly when you have technology that's changing fast. So, you know, .NET Core, over the last couple of years, has been releasing new stuff every couple of weeks.
Last couple of months.
So, you know, you write a talk, and you submit it to a conference, and they accept it, and by the time you get there 6 months later, the talk you submitted is 6 months out of date.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think part of the art of writing a good abstract, you know, I always try and go, what am I going to talk about? Why is it interesting? Who should come to this talk? And what do I think you're going to go away, you know, learning from it? What do I think what they call the takeaways here are? Because
uh-huh.
That way people can look at it. You got to remember that, you know, the job of the abstract, one, that's selling the conference. Someone's going to go on a website, they're going to look through all these things and go, is this worth paying money to attend?
Sure.
And then on the day, we got 9 tracks here?
Yeah.
And so you got these 1, 2, and someone is going to look at those and they're going to go, which one of these do I want to go to? And, you know, help people make an informed decision. Don't try and talk them into coming to something that's not interesting.
Right.
You know, you put a talk on, like, .NET Core, we're going to save the world and stop global warming, and it's amazing, and then they get in, and it's like, hey, look, type system. And people are going to be like, that's not really...
That's not what I was sold on.
So, you know, find your niche, find, you know, what it is you do well, whether that's deep dive technical content or,
sure,
you know, broad picture or, you know, storytelling, context, historical perspective, and describe that.
So it looks like what you're saying is step one, have something you're interested in.
Yeah.
Do it at a user group. Step two, when you're writing your abstracts, make sure they're not so specific that your stuff will be out of date in 6 months, but not so outlandish that it has nothing to do with what you're doing. That's step two. So the other question I have for you is, now that you've gotten that together and you have an abstract, how do you put an interesting story together so that when people are watching, because I've found that the talks that most resonate with me are the ones that tell a good story.
Yeah.
How do you tell a good story around a talk?
So, I mean, it's difficult.
Yeah.
There are some talks which are very easy. You know, one of the best things, I think, for first-time speakers is tell us what you did.
Right.
You know, because no one is going to stand up and tell you you're wrong. If you give us first-hand experience, tell us, you know, this is my team, this is what we tried, this is our result. One, it's a good way of, you know, reaching out to people who might be able to help you.
Sure.
You know, they'll come and say, oh, actually, did you know you could do this a little better? Or do you know that this is actually not quite right and stuff?
Sure.
In a, you know, very friendly way. And so with that, there is already a narrative. You start with, you know, the classic three-act play. You start by introducing the characters. This is my team. This is our project. This is what we do.
Sure.
The second act, you put them in the worst position possible. Our website was crashing all the time. And, you know, we were holding servers together with gaffer tape. And then you have the big happy ending. We moved everything into the cloud. And it was difficult. And there was adversity. And then, you know, there was victory. There's, you know, a happy ending of the story.
I love the way that you're actually saying it's a story. So make it into a story, and story has sort of the exposition, right?
Yeah.
It has the rising action into this climax, and then you go down, right?
Yeah.
And you need to think about what those elements are, right?
Yeah.
Is that what you're saying?
I mean, you know, storytelling is like anything else. There's people who are naturally good at it, and there's people who are good at it because they studied.
Right.
And there are resources out there that will help you tell stories. You know, they say, you know, these are some classic tropes. These are classic structures. These are some scenarios people will be able to relate to.
So unfortunately, we were not able to stream your keynote because it was coming from a different feed. Why don't you tell us a little bit about what your keynote was about? And we're getting some questions in, by the way.
Oh, cool. We have questions. Yeah. So what was the brand of the guitar I brought to DevSum?
Oh, man.
So the guitar I brought to DevSum, I'm going to say this on the internet in case they give me free stuff, is a Steinberger.
Okay.
So it's this guy, Ned Steinberger, out of United States, who invented this really tiny, stripped-down carbon fiber travel guitar. Mine's actually, it's a kind of a cheap Steinberger. It's not one of the real ones, which I love dearly, carry it around the world with me, practice in the airport. And yeah, I got it here. It's going to be at PubConf on Friday night if anyone's coming along to that.
Fantastic.
So that's going to be lots of fun.
By the way, we are taking questions. So if you have questions, just go to townline.msdn.com and then put them right below. We'll take those as they come in. So
there was a second part to the question, I think. Most hilarious memory as a speaker or something?
Oh, yes.
Let's have a look.
So, let's see here. Let me get also... sorry, what's the best, most hilarious memory you have as a speaker?
I don't know. I mean, hilarious memory. These events are fun. You know, I love learning things. I love meeting new people. I love catching up with people. One of the most vivid memories I have as a speaker is I was doing a talk in Kiev in Ukraine. And like 2 minutes before I went on, they're like, oh, your laptop won't work without projector. You have to use the spare laptop. And the spare laptop is running Windows in Russian.
Oh, man. And then your code's not on there?
And I'm like, fortunately, so I got away with it on that occasion because the talk was all slides and video. There was no live coding, no
Lucky.
Demos. So, and you know, it's very memorable. There was this instant adrenaline, like, okay, you know what? At this point, all bets are off. If this works, it's going to be brilliant. If it doesn't work, that's so totally not my fault. And that's kind of liberating because you're like, right, let's pull together and make this thing happen.
It is what it is.
That was a really fun talk. I did the same talk in Vilnius, and then I had a couple of slides which were like, you know, quotations. Uh-huh. And I grabbed someone there and I said, I think it would be really fun if I did these quotations in Ukrainian instead of English.
Yeah.
And they said, all right. And I'm like, I don't speak Ukrainian. I need you to help me. I need you to write it, and then I need you to tell me how to pronounce it. And so I did that, and, you know, I got to the first one, did it, and the room just went crazy. They thought this was the funniest thing they'd ever seen.
They were laughing at you because your pronunciation was probably... Because I've done that, too. I've tried to learn stuff, like, whenever I go. I want to learn how to say one thing, and they're like laughing, like, oh, look at that American trying to speak a foreign language.
But, you know, I travel all over the world, and I speak English most places I go because it's the only language I speak fluently. And, you know, I always think, just acknowledge the fact that you're out of your depth here. You know, make yourself look stupid. Come up with something, even if it's just a couple of phrases, you know, good morning, hello.
I'm really good at making myself look stupid. Look at my producer. She's like, yeah, so I've seen a lot of his stuff. I'm really good at that.
So anyway, thank you for the question. I hope that answers it.
Fantastic. And so now we want to get into what you were talking about, the keynote. I saw was there was a lot of history, a lot of cool stuff. Tell us about that.
So I, you know, got this email from Jacob, one of the guys who runs NDC.
Great guy. He'll be on at the end.
Yeah, so we'll have Jacob is awesome. We love Jacob. And, you know, he says to me, how would you feel about doing the opening keynote? Mm-hmm. And, you know, I hadn't really prepared for it, but at the same time, in the back of my head, I was like, one day I might get asked to do a keynote.
It'd
be kind of fun.
Yeah.
And so, you know, the keynote isn't like a regular talk.
No.
Everyone watches it. It's big. It kicks off the whole thing. And I was thinking, it's right at the beginning, first thing Wednesday morning. And I thought, you know, at the end of every talk, someone always says, you know, are there any questions?
Uh-huh.
And I thought, wouldn't it be fun to put that right at the top?
Right.
And actually go, you know, walk on stage. The first thing any speaker says at a conference is, are there any questions? And everyone's like, what?
What?
And then you're like, no, come on, this is cool. Questions are interesting.
You're right.
Because, you know, like I said, human beings, we're curious creatures. We want to learn things. Why does this happen? How does that work? What does this thing do?
Yeah.
You know, what happens if I lick the button, Mark? Do not lick the button. You know, button do not press. Hey,
right.
What happens there? And, you know, there's this sort of lovely parallel between questions and curiosity and invention and innovation and, you know, so much of the systems and things we work on have their origins in machines that were built to help answer questions. Information retrieval, calculation systems, you know, determining longitude at sea. And,
sure.
You know, I love engineering. I love gadgets. I love mechanisms. I love information.
Of course.
I love systems. And it's a nice, and you know, because it's historical, it's not niche. It doesn't tie you down to sort of, hey, I'm going to do a keynote all about .NET Core.
Right.
And, you know, all the Ruby and Java guys are just like, we did this already. Come on.
Yeah, because with a keynote, you have, your audience is everybody.
Yeah.
And like these conferences attract many people from many different, you know, kinds of disciplines. We're going to have people that are going to talk about Ruby, talk about all sorts of things here. And so you have to make it a little bit more general, right?
And so, you know, we're talking about storytelling. Mm-hmm. One of the best ways to tell a story is start with a history and end up in the future. Start with how did we get here and finish up with, hey, this is where I think we're going to be going.
I think my favorite part where there was a quote, I think, was it Rudyard Kipling about his five friends?
What is it? I keep six faithful serving men who taught me everything I know.
Uh-huh.
No, I've taught me everything I knew. Their names are what and how and when and why and where and who. That's the six questions. What, why, where, when, who, how. All these, you know, they're interrogatives. And you start a sentence with one of those, you end up learning something.
So let's get, now that we've talked a little bit about the keynote, let's talk about the stuff that you do. What are some of the technical talks that you do?
So I'm doing more talks this year about kind of developer culture.
I see.
And I did lots of technical talks. I just did a two-day workshop on building Hypermedia APIs in ASP.NET using C#, which is, you know, it's something I enjoy very much. I love REST and, you know, Hypermedia systems, scalable architecture, all these kind of patterns. Mm-hmm. And it still frustrates me the number of people who kind of say, oh, we got a RESTful API, and they really don't.
Yeah.
And the thing is, that doesn't mean there's anything wrong with what they did. It just means they're using the wrong terminology to talk about it. And so one of the things I try and do with this is say, look, this is RESTful. This is not. This might be fine. You know, we talk about some of the alternatives and explore the space around it.
Right.
But, you know, 2 days of hands-on, introduce a principle, talking through it. But the conference talks that I'm doing this year, I got one this afternoon, which is, The Pursuit of Appiness, which is an awful, awful pun. But, you know, people look at it and think, that looks interesting.
Yeah.
Which is about happy code. It's basically saying, you know, we in this industry, we have all these patterns, user experience patterns for creating, you know, good user experience, affordance, signifiers. And lots of time when you're doing kind of back-end development or systems engineering, you don't care. You forget. Yeah. You know, you think, oh, I'm not doing front-end stuff. I don't have any users. And it's like, well, no, you're writing a library that someone else is going to use. That person is your user.
Right.
You know, think about them. Think about how you can write code and systems that actually, you know, encourage kind of, you know, they're easy to learn.
Absolutely.
They're easy to grok. They have sandboxes built into them so people can familiarize themselves with them. And all these little ways of applying UX patterns
and
industrial design patterns to code bases so that the people who come along and work on those code bases will go away smiling and they won't be stuck in the office all night swearing at you.
Well, Dylan, I wish we had more time. We have like a minute left. Why don't you tell us where people can find out about you and where they can find out about where you'll be speaking next?
So my website is www.dylanbeattie, D-Y-L-A-N, like Bob Dylan, mm-hmm. BEATTIE.net, where I keep, you know, I blog, I post about stuff on there that's interesting, link that to talks and conferences, things I'm speaking at. The best way for this, you know, this whole industry is Twitter. Twitter works really well for these kinds of communities. You know, it's low commitment. You can dip in and out as often as you want. I'm Dylan Beattie on Twitter. I'm Dylan Beattie everywhere. There's like one guy, I think, who has Dylan Beattie on MySpace, and I got all the rest.
Awesome.
So yeah, just punch my real name into Google. That's me, the guy in the hat. Find it there. And yeah, email, tweet at me, drop by the website, come and say hi at a conference. Always lovely to meet people.
All right, my friend, thanks so much.
Thanks
have a session coming right now.